You've landed on Faith and Family, program where weekdays we talk about two of the most foundational things in our lives and in the world, faith in Jesus Christ and the family. And as is our custom, every week we take a different topic, a family topic, and we try to focus in on that family topic all week. This week we're looking at fun in the sun. Hopefully where you are, there's been some sunshine already, and we'll continue. And today we're going to be talking about what you might do as a family, or even as a bunch of families that go together. So stay tuned for that. We want to start, though, by encouraging you to check out our Wi-Fi radio giveaway program. Once a month, every month for the next, we started it last month, so we gave away our first one. The next 11 months, we're giving away a Wi-Fi radio completely free to somebody, and usually something different you have to do. This month, it's in honor of fathers. Last month, we gave away one for mothers. So you go on our Facebook page, and you comment on why your dad deserves a Wi-Fi radio. And then you have people like it, and the one with the most likes wins the Wi-Fi radio for your dad. All the instructions, you don't have to worry about it. Now that's on our website, kfuo.org, or our Facebook page. As I said, we're talking fun in the sun. We've did grandparents and grandkids, stuff to do in the summer with them. And yesterday we did staycations. And today we're doing something that now I'm really longing to get to. I know some people from my church, they just took a big group and went there. We're talking about the Creation Museum just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, in Petersburg, Kentucky. And our guest is the director of museum operations there. I hope that's the right title, Dan Magnus. Dan, is that the proper title?
That is the proper title, and my name's Mangus.
Mangus, okay. I mangled Mangus, didn't I?
That's fine.
Dan, we're so glad to have you on here, and what's the weather like there in the Cincinnati area?
It's gorgeous. It's about 77 degrees out, I believe.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Nice and sunny.
Yeah. Now, have you already had a pretty sizable stream of people coming to visit the museum this year so far?
Yes, we're up to 1.8 million since we opened in 2007.
Wow.
And next week really is when it starts getting busy. People are still finishing up school across the land, and you know, our average visitors come from about 250 miles away.
Wow. They average that. They average 250 miles away.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's neat. Now, you're kind of centrally located in the middle of the country, so to speak. Around Cincinnati. Now, how far are you from, it looks like you're pretty close to the Kentucky border, and I know having just gone through Cincinnati recently, it's pretty much sitting there close to the border, so you're pretty close to Cincinnati.
Yeah, we're just right across the river. We're probably about a mile from the river, and so we're in the Cincinnati metro area, but we're in northern Kentucky. We're just two exits removed from the Cincinnati Airport, regional or international airport.
Sure.
CVG.
And I can see there that you're really close to the Hoosier land in Indiana. That's real close to you, too. So easy to get to, and you know, lots of major highway, interstate arteries coming in there. And so tell us again, when did this start, and what was its goal, a Creation Museum?
The museum opened in 2007, but it was a dream of Ken Ham's way back in the 90s. And, you know, they went through a couple of issues in the county trying to get permission to build, and naturally they were resisted by people that didn't want a Creation Museum, but then we were able to open in 2007.
Wow. I take it that whole effort is really expanded and expanding. Would that be fair to say? Probably what you opened with has expanded numerous times, and it looks like you're expanding even more.
Yes, just last weekend we introduced a new exhibit that we have, Insectorium, just a wonderful insect exhibit that Dr. Crawley, who had invested his life in, donated all of these insects, and we've got augmented reality, just the latest in that design. And then we introduced Dragon Legends, a new exhibit that in our portico. People have been here before in our portico. We've taken that and made that our Dragon Legends exhibit, dealing with all the different legends that are found, you know, Marco Polo and John of Damascus, things like that. And, you know, how did they know about dragons, and were dragons dinosaurs, what we call dinosaurs today? So that's a new exhibit. And then within 2 weeks, we'll open up the largest zip lines in the area, in the tri-state area. Actually, we'll be the biggest in the Midwest.
Wow.
Just so when families come, they can have some outdoor fun while they're here, and, you know they're in a Christian environment, and they'll really enjoy a trip to the Creation Museum.
Now, if I understand it right, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, you have none of your own hotels, motels right there on the space, but adjacent, you have package deals with various people around that area. Is that right?
Yes, just one exit removed from us. We have several hotels that are in partnership with us, and we'll make very good package deals for families coming this way, or, you know, individuals.
Excellent, excellent. And I know from some friends that have did this, you have great group rates and group packages for school groups, church groups, whatever, to come and do it together, right?
That is correct. The group rate is phenomenal, and then the educational rate's even better. So, you know, for school groups to come, we'll give a good deal for the students in that.
Now, you know, there's so much to check out on all this, and so if people don't have to really be taking notes, because your website is very, very nice, creationmuseum.org, and we'll link right to that from our website, where we'll archive this program, so they can check it all out. I mean, you've got some great stuff that they can get more details on, a lot of, you know, virtual tour, all the information on mission prices, all these different things that we've talked about, and then more. The dragon invasion, the dinosaur den, the walk through biblical history, just some great stuff there, it looks like, and very well done. I know the people that I have talked to that have been there, we're just really excited and impressed. And I know that probably a big reason that it would seem that a lot of us would want to make a journey there eventually, or many times, is that a lot of people probably catch the vision, Dan, once they're there, of what you're trying to communicate in it looks like a really credible, professional way. You're presenting the arguments for creation, which we really need in our world, and then let people make their own decisions. But there's some really good evidence, which you guys display so wonderfully.
Yes, one of my favorite parts of the day is in the afternoon, about 4 or 5, 6 o'clock, when people are now they're waiting for maybe somebody in their party to finish up in their bookstore, but they're just so happy to have been here, you know, to have made it a trip. And what they didn't understand, or maybe they hadn't read a lot of apologetics, the museum makes so clear to them, and they're like, that's right, that's a good answer for that. And so it just really helps them in their faith, you know, something that, you know, you get evolution every time you turn on television or in the classroom, but this counters some of that teaching that the world teaches as fact, but it's just, you know, they don't have the hardcore evidence that it's 300 million years ago. They're guessing themselves. So we try to counter that and say, well, this is what we believe caused the fossils to be laid down like they are. It's just great to see how it strengthens people's faith. And, you know, some people, they come in and they expect it to be cheesy and cheap, and then they're just blown away because it's like Disney World in quality.
Right, and I had heard from a couple of individuals that I know real well and would trust their opinion, that what they got excited about is after being there and experiencing it, Dan, they could donate and contribute to the further effort of this, and so that this thing doesn't, you know, stay where it is, but continues to be blessed by the Lord with all kinds of people to actually see the alternative to evolution that it, that as you were expressing there is so strong. You know, I was doing some work in Romans the other day, and it hit me right between the eyes, as it always does, that, you know, Paul talks about there in the early chapters of the book of Romans, how that these people that are on a downward sinful cycle away from God and the truth, doing things that are not natural for humans to do, that they repress the truth. And you know, the truth that he's talking about there is the evidence that is out there, which every human being sees, that there is a creator. And there's no denying that. You know, even a friend of mine who wrote a great commentary just came out, at least the first eight chapters of Romans. He says that the Greek word, therefore, there's no excuse for that. It's like a shutout in baseball. It's a perfect game. They have nothing that's going to work to get around the fact that they saw God's magnificence in his creation, and they should have realized that there is a creator behind all this, and then try to find out who he was. And of course, that's when then revelation of the Bible comes in, that he's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit who did all this creation. And so, you know, our society is so good anymore at repressing the truth, and we're about exposing the lies. And I think your Creation Museum is a great example of that. Selling people, as you were saying, that when some see it, they go, yeah, now that really clicks and rings bells and lights come on in my head, that I can see, you know, how dinosaurs fit in, because that's one that a lot of people always try to throw at us.
Sometimes, you know, we'll recognize atheists because they just kind of stand out when they come to visit. And, you know, they may go through here scoffing, but, you know, we know the Word of God is powerful. And, you know, before the end of the tour through the museum, you're going to get a real good dose of the gospel. So, you know, that's our hope, that even the most negative person towards our ministry, at least that Word of God, that seed has been planted, and now they're even more without excuse. You know, nature teaches them that what they're saying is wrong. And now, with something like the Creation Museum, it makes it even stronger of a message to them.
Yeah, so that they're at least challenged again by the Holy Spirit to reconsider denial of a Creator God and a redeeming God, and so on. Now, because I've never been there before, Dan, what is a visitor to the Creation Museum? What are they first encountered with when they come to your facility?
Well, when a visitor comes in, you know, one of the first things that we'd like for them to see is the planetarium, because that's going to give you a view of the universe from a Christian perspective, which is very rare in our society today. And then after that, we have a video that we would like for them to see. It's called the Men in White, and it's pictures a young lady sitting on the stage there, and she's questioning this God and evolution. What should she believe? And, you know, she doesn't want to come across as being ignorant. Well, in that video, two angels appear to her and say, look, this is some of the reasons why, you know, you shouldn't follow after evolution. They're not telling you the whole truth. They're not showing you all the evidence. And so a lot of families, they really, or a lot of people, enjoyed that video, Men in White.
And so then, you give them a big cosmic, natural, macro view of kind of what's going on, and then specifically start delving into these questions of how the origins, the beginnings of all of this stuff.
Right, and it does it in a fun way. And, you know, it's a special effects theater. You know, we got some the seats vibrate, and you got a little water involved in that. And I like going in there and just kind of watching just to see people's response. And that's about 22 minutes. And usually when they come out of there, then that would be the perfect time to head down to the museum itself. And that's actually about a half a mile of exhibits as you walk through there. And one of the, like in the second room, we have a phenomenal new exhibit that we introduced last year. And basically what we did is we took the bones of Lucy, and put it back in a chimpanzee's body, and it fits perfectly. She's not our ancestor. She's not our mother. She's a chimpanzee.
Are those the actual bones or copies of them?
Yes.
Okay.
So
wow.
We've taken what, you know, people see at the Smithsonian and other places, just those few bones that they do have.
Sure.
And by hologram, we put them back into a chimpanzee's body. So you're looking at a chimpanzee, and because of a hologram, you see where the bones are in that, inside that chimp. And it's just phenomenal. It's that really blows people away. And that's a very impressive exhibit that we just introduced last year. So here's another thing. You may have some listeners that were here in 2007, and I was here in 2007. We were so crowded. It was wall-to-wall people. They need to come back, you know, 6 years later when, you know, it's not that. We had over 400,000 visitors that first year, and that summer we were slammed. So if they came then, they really need to make their way back here and check it out at a more leisurely pace. We're not as crowded as we were that first summer. Like today, we'll have close to 1,000 people. Next week, you know, we'll average over 1,000 per day, and then
wow,
close to 2,000 on Saturday or more.
So your facilities have expanded where it's much more roomier. You're not on top of each other as back when you opened in 2007.
No, we're almost the same space, but now we've got a petting zoo, the botanical gardens, you know, we got camel rides that we're giving, and it kind of helps us spread the people out more than that first summer when we first opened.
I see.
And, you know, that first summer, you know, there were days that we had over 3,000 people here on a Saturday, and
wow,
that was just a little crowded and not as pleasant as when, you know, it's the numbers around 1,000, 1,200 a day.
Sure.
It's a much more pleasant walking experience as you're going down through there.
And you said it was something around a half a mile of exhibit, display in this museum. Dan, is that right?
Yeah, I actually stepped it off one day and measured about a half a mile.
Wow, that's a good size jaunt.
Yeah.
Now, is it interactive as they look at these displays, or do you have guides or tour booklets? How does the person interface with what they're seeing in the displays?
Actually, it's not guided. It's at your own pace. You go down through the museum, but there are places where we have animatronics where you can push a touch screen and an animatronic Noah will answer the question that you just ask him.
Wow.
And in the new insectorium, we have a Dr. Arthur Pod set up the
pod.
Same way. Yeah. And you can push and ask him a question.
That's
and
wonderful.
He'll talk to you.
Listen, about asking questions and getting answers, I failed to say that this is an interactive program with our listeners. So please call us with your questions or comments about the Creation Museum or their building of a replica of Noah's Ark, which we want to talk about. That excites me. You can do that here in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. We'd love to have your comments, your questions about the Creation Museum and their new exciting thing to build a replica of Noah's Ark. So I imagine a lot of people, do you have any idea, Dan, about return visitors? Because it sounds like it's one of those things that, you know, some of us, I know my wife and I, we're just new to St. Louis, and we went to their excellent botanical garden, and we didn't have the time to see everything we wanted to. We got to go back. I'm sure your exhibits are like that, too. Yeah, most people want to come back.
We actually have one gentleman that has been here 80 times. He just can't bring enough people with him. Of course, he's a member. But, you know, he counts. He gets his picture made every time he comes in because he just loves the Creation Museum and the message that we present. And he either brings people or he sends people, but he himself has been here over 80 times.
Wow.
And, you know, we have people that, especially the members, they're probably been here 3, 4, 5 times since we've opened.
Great. And so highly recommended. I know the people that I've talked to are the same way. You know, they want to take me, they want to take others back. So they just don't say, hey, you ought to go. They say, hey, why don't you go and we'll go with you. We want to see it again.
Right.
So that's nice. That's nice. Now, do you allow media like us to come and do live remotes from down there?
Yes. And just yesterday, we had a news crew from Cincinnati that came in.
Oh, great.
It helped. You know, we'll need to know ahead of time that you're coming. That makes it a lot smoother for you.
Sure, that'd be neat to do a live broadcast from down there and see it for ourselves and share it with our people. Now, tell us about this construction of the Noah's Ark. Has it started or still in the planning and that stage before it's actually started any construction?
We've spent thousands of dollars on permits, and we've cut down the necessary trees that we've needed to so that we can start clearing the tops of the hills, because in Kentucky it's kind of hilly. We got 800 acres for the Ark project, and the Ark will be up on top of one of the hills, and it's on a major thoroughfare, one county removed from us on Interstate 75, but we haven't turned the soil yet. Hopefully that should happen within the next 12 months, but a lot of planning has been going on while we're kind of waiting for the economy to turn a little bit better for us, but we have been working diligently towards that. Now, yeah. Once probably if we can get that dirt turned real soon, 2015 would be a realistic date.
To start the construction, you're saying?
No, to actually be open.
Wow.
If we can get that dirt turned, you know, here in the next, within the next 12 months. Now, that's, you know, not gospel, but that's what we're hoping for.
Now I saw that you could help for that by, you know, some people I know construction will let you buy a brick or, you know, something like that. And you've got pegs and planks and something else. Escapes me. The look kind of almost like the construction materials for the Ark that people can be a part of in their sponsorship. So that's kind of exciting and a neat way to do it. So people could actually feel a part of getting this Ark up by contributing to the project.
That's correct.
That's wonderful. And I know that having just come through there, that's really hilly country through there. And so you're saying it's kind of up on a hill. I'm looking at the artist's rendering in it. You can see hills in the background, and this looks like it is up on the top of one. That's going to be a magnificent thing to behold. What, about 3-4 stories high? Is that kind of the dimensions of that?
Yes, it'd be 3 floors. It actually, I think I heard 60 feet total in height, because we're actually going to build it 12 feet off the ground so people will be able to just walk underneath the Ark.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
It'll be suspended up, sitting on something underneath, and people can walk under it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, the people that told us about the museum, they're like, you need to be ready for 400,000 the first year. Well, that's how many we had. Well, that same group did a study, and they said, if you build the Ark, you need to be ready for 1.6 million the first year.
Wow. The first year.
The first year. So that, you know, we've had 1.8 in the 6 years of Creation Museum, but evidently the Ark is something that America is very intrigued about.
And that holds so much, doesn't it, with the whole creation thing, because so much of our landscape and geology is due to that monumental flood. And so the Ark is, you know, in that. I have a friend that he and his son were inside the one supposedly on Mount Ararat. He swears by that. There's a lot of accounts of that. You know, one of our astronauts was in there. And so I think the world is fascinated by that. I mean, you've got something really going on there. Dan, we're going to have to take a quick break here. And we come back, we want to talk more about all the various features, the programs, the workshops, the speaker series, the botanical gardens, the petting zoo, all those other magnificent things you have there. And people can join in on that, asking their questions, or if you've been there and would like to give a raving review, we'd love to have that too. 314-505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at family@kfu.org. We'll be right back talking with the director of the Creation Museum in the greater Cincinnati, Ohio area.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Legislation is being introduced in Congress that stops abortion after 20 weeks in the womb because the baby feels the pain of abortion. One of those testifying was Dr. Maureen Kondik, Associate Professor of Neurobiology and Anatomy at the University of Utah. She's a scientist who's been widely published in peer-reviewed journals. She knows her stuff. Dr. Kondik testified there's universal agreement babies feel pain in the first trimester, but she says it's documented babies feel pain at 8 weeks, and to expose a baby to pain for any reason is barbaric. But Planned Parenthood and others are living in the dark ages. They deny this humanity of the unborn and accepted science by opposing this humane bill. Many would call this just plain ignorance.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
It's all about time. Time to finish a project or watch a game. Time's not only a luxury, it's critical during an emergency.
911, what's your emergency?
When you call 911, Missouri's new emergency medical care system provides quick response and higher quality care for trauma, stroke, and heart attack. 911 can be the difference between a hospital bed, a nursing home, or going home. Minutes matter. Call 911. A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
What makes Thrivent Financial for Lutherans a strong financial services organization is what has made us strong for generations. Things like holding firm to our values, keeping our promises, and offering quality products that meet the needs of our members, wherever they are in life. Strong today, strong tomorrow. Committed to meeting your needs. Contact Thrivent Financial today at 314-783-4200. Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Johann Sebastian Bach once called music an agreeable harmony for the honor of God and the permissible delight of the soul. We believe the great Lutheran composer got it right. That's why we're continuing the tradition of timeless classical music and sacred classics online at classic99.com. Check us out, the greatest music in the world, streaming 24/7 on classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Leaders of conservative groups have told Congress they were abused by the Internal Revenue Service for years as they sought tax-exempt status, including questions an anti-abortion group said it got about prayer meetings outside Planned Parenthood. Sue Martinek, president of the Coalition for Life of Iowa, says the IRS instructed her group to
please explain how all of your activities, including the prayer meetings held outside of Planned Parenthood, are considered educational as defined under 501c3.
She says the IRS added,
please explain in detail the activities at the prayer meetings.
Martinek told a House hearing that in applying for a tax exemption,
we never thought we would have to defend our prayer activities.
She said the IRS also demanded that her group's board promise in writing not to demonstrate outside Planned Parenthood. The chairman of another group, the National Organization for Marriage, said the IRS disclosed confidential information about its donors to a gay rights group. I'm Steve Coleman.
Thanks for sticking with us on Faith and Family. I'm your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer. In this week, we're looking at fun in the sun, especially what do you do with families during the summer months, and we're looking at it from a lot of different ways. Today, we're talking about the Creation Museum, over 70,000 state-of-the-art square feet, bringing the pages of the Bible to life. I love that. And we have the Director of Museum Operations, Dan Mangus. And Dan, tell me, and I'm fascinated by this, being the pastor that I am, that it says as you go through this self-guided tour through the Creation Museum, you travel back to the dawn of creation, and then the exhibits walk you through the timeline of the universe, what you call the seven C's of history. Tell us about these seven C's.
The seven C's You know, the first one would be creation. And basically, when you walk into the museum, the first part of the museum, you're introduced to this starting points room. And basically, it shows you what man is teaching, or what the Word of God teaches. And you move into the next room, and you see where you know, God's Word has been attacked and questioned and all of that. And then as a result of that, you see the results of sin and what happened. And you see culture in a crisis. In other words, you're standing in one room, and it's kind of like you're standing outside of a house, and in the bedrooms of the house is the young man and the daughter, and then the husband and wife are kind of disconnected, and then across the way you see a church, and the service is going on, and the preacher is saying, you know, you don't really have to get technical about, you know, creation and that. It's, you know, an allegory. And so, you know, the foundations have been destroyed. Well, then you walk into this other room, kind of like you're going back in time, and then we present the 6 days of creation, and then God resting on the seventh day. And then after that, you continue on into the museum, and you've got the, you know, the Garden of Eden, a scene there where Adam's naming the animals and that. So we show them what, you know, creation. And then we go through the different, the seas, you know, like catastrophe, the flood, and, you know, the last three seas. I'm trying to bring up the seven seas because my mind has got a blank on me here. I may have to sketch it out. But basically, you know, you go from creation all the way to consummation, where Christ has become the Lamb for us and will save us from our sins in this wicked world. And it's just a good gospel message. And one of the things that you definitely have to see is the video that we have in the end called The Last Adam. And it just ties the museum together. This is what happened. This is why we need a sacrificial lamb in the Lord Jesus Christ now.
So that final part is about the second Adam, Jesus, who really takes care of what Adam could not, fulfills it for us, and gives us eternal life. That's great. So those final three C's, Christ, cross, and consummation, are there, and then you get this theater presentation kind of illuminating, as you say, all of God's plan of salvation for fallen humanity.
That's correct.
Great. Now, where is this? I'm fascinated by this Noah's Ark construction site exhibit that I found. It says, you can see the scaffolding, smell the freshly cut timbers, delve into the belly of the ark and imagine the stalls full of animals. Listen to the sounds of thunderous driving rains and the pounding of water against the sides of the great ark. Where is this part of this museum, or somewhere else, Dan?
No, that is part of the, as you're walking down through there, you're in the garden, and then shortly thereafter you see Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit. And then you see the an altar where Adam and Eve learn now what they need to do. Because they've sinned, they need a sacrifice and, you know, a covering. And then shortly after that, you get down into the ark area, that part of the seven seas, the catastrophe, and you walk into this room and you get this huge cutout of the ark, you know, 1% of the ark, and it's just a massive room, and you're thinking, this is just 1% of the whole ark?
Wow, 1% of the entire ark. Wow,
yeah,
that's
now,
neat.
We have a new exhibit outside, just outside the building itself, that shows you what one bay would look like just on one floor. And then it tells you, you know, that's just one of 144 bays. And it's just really impressive when you see the size of it. Of course, that's what's really going to be nice when we get the ark built. People will think, well, this wasn't just a little bathtub-sized boat. This thing was a massive barge, you know, just filled with the animals that God had directed to the ark.
Yeah, it easily allows our minds to wrap around and say, yeah, I think that could be possible to work what the biblical account says to get it through the great deluge. So, Dan, what would you say is the average time for a person to get through all the museum? It sounds like it's so intriguing and rich that you just don't want to walk through really, quickly, although you could. What's the average length of time that a person probably spends going through that museum space?
About 2.5 hours, 6 hours.
Okay.
Now, did that... I switched to speakerphone. Did that affect you?
Yeah, we can barely hear you. That's not real good.
Okay.
Now you're coming back real good.
Okay, so about 2.5 to 3 hours would be a minimum amount, but some people will take 2 days, you know, when they come to the museum. In fact, our tickets are good for 2 days.
Oh, great. So you buy a ticket, it's a two-day thing.
Yes.
Now you talked before about memberships, and I know some of my friends have did that too. How about memberships? Are those available? And then if you get those, I know like my wife and I, when we first went to Disney World, we bought a lifetime pass. We'll go back anytime we want. Do you have that kind of stuff available?
Yes, we have an annual pass that's good for a family for $178, and that would be good any time for a whole year. Or you can buy a five-year membership for around $500, and that would be good for your whole family coming.
Oh, wow.
You know, within the five-year period.
Yeah, so check that out, listener, and I think my wife and I are going to do that. We have a question for you, Dan. Came through our email at family@kfuo.org. Good friend Miles actually takes care of our streaming computers. He's a techno expert, and he asked this good question. He says he's curious about any self-imposed technical limitations, such as tools, materials, or processes that will be used on the ARC design and build. In other words, will there be an attempt for those to be authentic? And he says, great program, Dan. Thank you.
When they construct the ARC, they're going to make the ARC as authentic as possible. Of course, you know, we don't know what gopher wood is, but, you know, they'll build the ARC totally out of wood and try to make it as authentic for Noah's time as possible. But, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, primitive man was primitive, but obviously they were very highly intelligent. I mean, we're still scratching our heads over the Great Pyramids, how they even pulled that off.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're looking at Noah. He was a very intelligent man. And so it wasn't like a simple construction. He would have known how to build something that would have withstood those flood waves and that ocean-going type effect that the ARC would have experienced.
So as far as you know, with tools, materials, process, you're going to try to keep it as authentic as you can?
You know, as authentic as we can. You know, we actually have some Amish families that are going to come in and help us build the boat because they're good at woodworking and that.
Oh, sure, with joints, and they don't, you know, you like to use power tools, or, you know, they use, you know, the old joints with pegs and all that. That's neat. That's neat.
Yeah, we will be using pegs in that.
Okay, very good. Now, talk to us about I want to hear more about the planetarium, because, there's so many good scientific things about how our planet is. I know there's a famous book called The Privileged Planet, where it shows that we are unique in this in all the cosmos, because we're put in a special position and a little bit just slightly different would cause, you know, the heat, the cold, all these other things to go out of whack. That we're kind of look like somebody specifically put us in the position we are. And so the planetarium, and you were saying that's kind of up front as a visitor comes in, it kind of talks about this this cosmos and our special position in it.
I tell you, one of the senses that you will get from our planetarium, we have a couple shows, but the show that we show the most, Created Cosmos, it just shows you how vast the universe is, and it shows you basically what man has discovered, you know, about our galaxy and about all of these other galaxies, and how insignificant we are But then again, we're not, because you were God's special creation. So it will actually take you out of our galaxy, and then a really special part of the show, it starts zooming in, and you start heading back to Earth, and you're traveling, you know, every time you go through a certain space, you've traveled 10 times the distance, and it just makes you in awe of God, that it's so vast, and yet He spoke it all into existence. One other thing, too, a new show that we should have coming out in July is, we've got a comet that's about to visit our part of the galaxy, or our part of the Milky Way, the ISON, I-S-O-N. And so we're going to do a planetarium show on ISON, and so people can come here and learn about comets, again, from a Christian perspective. You know, a comet shouldn't even exist. They should have already been wasted away after billions of years, but yet we still have planetary-type objects passing by the sun, being blown to bits as they go by every time they go by the sun, but we still have these in existence.
Yeah, if it's billions and billions of years, that shouldn't be. So thanks for that. So, and you have this special kind of stuff every now and then, I would take it.
Yes, this is a new show, but I tell you another thing that's pretty interesting nowadays. We have an observatory on our property, and we have stargazers nights, and so people, families could come, they could watch our calendar when there are special nights for stargazing, but we've taken it a step further. We're actually, on certain days, offering to go out and look through the telescopes through filters and look at the sun and see solar flares and solar gases and things like that. Now, that's pretty interesting.
Sure. Now tell us about, we're not going to get through everything, listener, so you're going to have to go on their website, creationmuseum.org, and check all this out, and more importantly, go there yourself and check it out in the flesh. Tell us about the dinosaur den.
The dinosaur den was, a lot of the images there were created by Buddy Davis, who sculpts the dinosaurs. And that's just a real fascinating place for moms and dads. You know, you see a T-Rex, and you see probably about over a dozen different models of dinosaurs and their sizes and that. And some of them are so lifelike. I know my own grandson, who's 4 years old, he's still not quite ready to go up and check out T-Rex because it's so real and threatening because of the image that is portrayed there. You know, this huge T-Rex.
Yeah, and we know about the time they were around, the climatic conditions were ripe for all things to live a long time and be kind of massive for a scale that we would know it today. I mean, like a mosquito with a wingspan that's, you know, 3-4 feet. I mean, it's phenomenal. How about the, I'm really interested in this one, natural selection is not evolution.
Basically, that takes it's almost like a college course condensed into a room, and you can see where natural selection, yeah, we believe in natural selection, but it's not evolution. You know, the we talk about how, you know, a lot of the dog breeds that we have today, which is over 100, well, you can trace them all back to possibly wolves and another dog-like creature. So, you know, that's not evolution, that's natural selection. You know, certain animals thrive in certain areas of the world. Again, natural selection there. The slowest rabbit is the one that's not going to make it through life.
Sure. And I take it we're talking here about microevolution, which we never argue. We say, you know, trout, you know, can interbreed and give different kind of species of trout. The Bible talks about that within its own kind, you know. So, but not macro. We're not going from birds to reptiles or any of that. We haven't seen any evidence of that. So this display unloads that. What is this it's saying about examining an aquarium that resembles a real cave, with these blind cane fish showing how this natural selection kind of works for a given environment?
Yeah, well, just, you know, that's part of the exhibit, the blind cave fish. You know, they thrive in that type of environment, so natural selection, they are what you find there after all of these years, whereas the other fish, you know, it just wasn't a natural environment that they could thrive in, but these fish did.
Wow.
But again, not an example of evolution. You know, evolution would be for us seeing a fish give birth to an amphibian, or at least a slow process, but, you know, we haven't seen that. It just doesn't happen. That's evolution. But speciation, that's, we see that all the time.
Sure, sure. And that's the point, I think, that a lot of evolution supporters just don't get, or if they do, they're just trying to be deceptive. They're trying to repress the truth. So there's some great stuff like this for all of us to check out. How about the Verbum Domini? Tell us about that.
That is an exhibit that the owners of Hobby Lobby have come in and have taken one of our rooms, and what was a collection room, we put that elsewhere. So, you know, earlier you made a comment, have we expanded? Yes, we've expanded into this room, and now we have a legacy hall that seats almost 1,000 people. That, you know, we have daily speakers, that, you know, live speakers, PhDs. But going back to Verbum Domini, that was donated to us by the Green Brothers. They're going to be building a museum in Washington, D.C., a Bible museum. But in the meantime, they're every 6 months changing out the different offerings that we have. Right now, our latest offering in that room are Bibles or material from the Revolutionary period and famous people Bibles. You know, we got a Bible that was given by John D. Rockefeller to somebody because of his Sunday school class. Just different things like that. Earlier, we had, you know, old manuscripts. I know down there right now we have one of the original, or a very old copy of Pilgrim's Progress, things like that, that is part of that Green collection.
Oh, neat.
So every 6 months, that's a new exhibit, and that's a really fun place to visit. The last exhibit had a He Bible versus a She Bible. I don't know if you know the history of that. It was a 1611 version that had He instead of She, or vice versa, and it was just, you know, a copy. When they sent it to the copier or whatever, it didn't copy the right pronoun. It wasn't written right.
Well, it's almost what it does to me now when the automatic spell check on my iPhone takes over and corrects a word that I didn't want, and then I'm not looking, and, you know, so that kind of thing.
I know, wow. It's painful. Yeah.
Now, I was fascinated, too, as I was checking your great site out, and I encourage our listeners to do that, creationmuseum.org, or we're going to put a link right to that so you don't have to search for it or remember it, and you can go right to it. But I was looking on your blog, Dan, and I saw this fascinating thing. It looked like that you took some people on some dinosaur fossil digs.
We've taken people to Montana for dinosaur digs. Now, recently, I don't know what blog you're looking at, but recently, just this past weekend, we took some people up into Ohio.
I think that's where it was.
And one young man found a trilobite about the size of his palm. It was very impressive. So, you know, we sent Andrew Snelling up there with him, and they had a great time. You know, it's just great to be with Christians of like faith, you know, that that's not evolutionary, and you hear the Christian perspective of things, and you're hunting fossils with Christians. It's just, you know, things that we try to offer outside the museum.
Oh, that's neat. And so, you know, periodically it sounds like you do some of these special programs, special events, special workshops. And so I imagine, can people get on like a mailing list, an email mailing list or such, that when you have these things, they can become aware of them, Dan?
Oh, we'd be more than happy to put people on our mailing list.
Okay, so if they go on your website, they can find that out and get on there and find out what you're promoting, what's new, and you know, also what I would think would be neat was to hear about the needs that you guys have, and let us out here pray to the Holy Spirit about what He would have us do to support and encourage this. And so let's all get on that, creationmuseum.org, and keep plugged into what's going on at this interesting place. I just can't wait now to get down there and see this, Dan. This sounds just absolutely fantastic, and that's the rave reviews that I've heard from all of my trusted friends that have went down there themselves in groups, and I have pastor friends that I think are great theologians, and we have one, he does what we call a creation club here on the radio station every Friday, that's just really into it, and he's been down there numerous times and just raves about this. So I think more and more of us that see it in the flesh, you know, is nothing like that. And sometimes it's hard to describe to a person with words or over a radio or even with, video footage. Being there in person is even more impressive. And I know that with the potential arc replication event, you're looking even plans like a Tower of Babel and some other things, and it just looks absolutely wonderful for Christianity. And so I'm encouraging myself and everybody else to check this out, get down there and support it, so that we can have this for the body of Christ. Dan, do you have normal publications that you send out that tell people about what you're doing or that?
Yes, if they're on the Creation Museum website, they can easily transfer over to Answers in Genesis. We put out a publication. We create DVDs and books and things like that that they could find a vast selection of apologetic type material, and they can keep up with Ken's blog. Ken Ham blogs about every day, and they can find out what the latest battles are, you know, with the secularist and the atheist and people that are just, you know, trying to close down Christian schools and, you know, homeschool type environments. So it would be wrong to just sit home and do nothing when there's a battle going on.
Sure. Sure. And, Ken has just did such blessed work. We have him on with this program. And so that's where the publication stuff, and you've got so much. I know there's an astronomer there on your staff. Is it Danny Faulkner or something like
that?
Yes,
sir, Danny Faulkner.
Yeah, he's speaking at a creation conference that our church body is having up in Wisconsin, and wrote a book. And I know I'm going to have him on the Book Talk review program. And talking about the astronomical data that supports a young Earth and not a billions and billions or millions and millions type thing. So this is really good that we can stay abreast and be armed when we go out there to give a defense and apologia to all those that are interested. And I know a lot of people, if they just give us the time, they would find out that there's a lot of good reasons to consider the opposite of evolution, godly creation, and just your wonderful museum and the potential of the art going up is just so exciting and stimulating to us Christians to see, Dan. With just a minute or so left, what would you say to the person that's looking for something as a family, you know, maybe a married couple or grandparents with grandkids or just, families with all kinds of different kids or just individuals to come and see your Creation Museum near Cincinnati there tucked in the corner up by Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, that confluence. What would you say to them about why they may want to take some vacation time and come check out the Creation Museum?
Well, they would be like 1.8 million that have come. You know, we've had grandparents bring their grandkids, and we've had families come. We've actually even had people on their honeymoon come here. And there's just so much to see. And, you know, here's the deal. If there's one thing that I would say, it's the public school kids that are living a sheltered life. It's the Creation Museum that would help educate people so that they can see, all right, here's evolution, here's creation. Now consider, you know, what in your heart there has to be a God. And, you know, especially with families, you need all the help you can get as far as getting instilled in those young people a belief in God. And, you know, God is who you can depend on, not what man teaches, because what man teaches changes. You know, what are they teaching today compared to what they were teaching 100 years ago, and even so, you know, 100 years from now. So Creation Museum, we have a lot to offer, and even the Cincinnati area, there are things to do.
Dan. Dan Magnus, Director of Museum Operations for the Creation Museum. Thanks for being on, and you'll hear from us about maybe trying to come down there and do some more remotely. Dan, thank you so much, and God's richest blessings to you people down there.
Thank you very much.
Tune in tomorrow when we'll talk more about Fun in the Sun here on Faith and Family Worldwide, KFUO.